that, Father, you take my tongue and use that as the pen of a ready writer to inscribe, Father, your known will upon the hearts of lost men. Father, I pray that in your midst that you would ever challenge us to be changed. And Lord, that we would perceive your greatness, Father, walking up and down the aisles of this place. God, I pray that you would move not by, Lord, flesh, or not by, Lord, witty ideas or by crafty words, but I pray in this place that you would move by your spirit. Father, change us by your anointing. Draw us near, Father, by your presence. Let your word do the work on the inside of us, and forever let us be, Father, worshipers of the true and the living God. I pray that you'd move in this house. Have your way in our life now. Bless us and feed us until we want no more. Do it now, Lord, in Jesus' name. You may be seated. I want to preach a very simple message this morning. And it got a title with a subtitle. I like using the word to extrapolate my title. And so I'll start at, "My Father, My Father." Look at your neighbor and say, "My Father, My Father." And I'm going to take a subtitle from Pratt the Baptocostal, his playbook, with the second title being, "I'm Stunting Like My Daddy." Look at your neighbor and ask him, "Are you stunting like your daddy?" I ain't say stunting, I said stunting. Are you acting? Are you, hey man, replicating? Are you imitating, hey man, your father? And that is a very difficult, hey man, term to answer for many in this room who are fatherless, even in the church. In order, hey man, for us to understand, hey man, the power of a father, or the power, hey man, of the father working in a person, like, we got to define what a father is. He is the progenitor, amen, of the family name, of the family. He is the originator and transmitter of anything. He is the one who releases his presence and his wisdom into the household. A father, he is very, amen, needful. Did you know that the Greek word for father, it is the word pater? It is the word where we get the American word pattern from. In order for you to understand the power of a father, you need to understand that you need a pattern to follow. And that's why a father's supposed to be in every house, because every child and every wife, they need a father. They need a pattern to be able to follow. I'm telling you, you can try and make suits without a pattern, and I guarantee you that you're going to come up with some junk, because you need a pattern. You need an outline. You need to know this is the way it's supposed to be. Everybody needs a father. Look at your neighbor and say, "He talking to you?" Because I understand in the generation that we live in, we feel like as long as I got my mama, that's all that I need. It is lopsided living. It is lopsided Christianity. It is lopsided, amen, thinking, to think that all you need is your mama. Everybody in the room, the way that God designed us is that we need both of them. Amen, we need our father. Amen, we need him. Amen, we need him active in our life. We need him speaking. Amen, blessing over us. We need him, amen, correcting and leading. We need him distributing wealth. We need him showing us how to work with our hands. Every person in this room, you need a father. And it's very difficult, amen, sometimes to speak about how it feels like to be raised by a father, because, you know, if you read my book, you know, I've never met my physical father. Somebody say, "But it's okay." I had a man in my life. I called him dad. Hey, he was my stepfather, but he wasn't, hey man, a bad person at all. And sometimes you can be not a bad person at all and still not be good for somebody's life, because sometimes you can set the wrong example even though you're trying to be an example. Come on, if all you teaching your kids is teach them how to Dougie, teach them how to Dougie, and you ain't teaching them, hey man, how to worship and teaching them how to pray and teaching them how to praise and teaching them how to, hey man, work on the house and take out the trash and wash some dishes and flip some omelets, you teach them how to teach y'all. You understand what I'm talking about? Somebody say, "Preach to me this morning, Pastor." But everybody in the room, we ought to be, hey man, like our father. My father that I had on paper, on my birth certificate, I met him when I was 14. He was killed right before my 16th birthday. He was a multi-millionaire drug dealer. The 14, my life changed. I went from catching the bus downtown to riding in Corvettes, limousines, Porsches. The man was filthy rich. I'm talking about balling out of control. But his example to me was, we selling these kilos of heroin. We selling these kilos of cocaine. And we selling these barrels. He wasn't getting a pound of reefer. He was getting barrels of reefer. And so this was my example. And then one day, I'm sitting up there watching a Thursday night football game. And somebody was beating at the door. And so we were at the drop house waiting to get picked up so we can go to our penthouse at the Watergate in 1987. And instead of being my father coming to get us, it was his close associate beating, crying, and saying, "They've killed Chuck. They've killed Chuck." And his friend who he had accused of sleeping, my father was sleeping with his woman. He shot him in the neck, back, and in the head in front of my little brother. Not a good example. He was a good man, cold player from the Himalayas. Brother was stone cold, had it going on. I was sitting in the room, hey man, with six women that was his girlfriends, and everybody knew they rolled, and didn't nobody say, "What you doing here?" Somebody say, not a good example. Not a good example. But if this is the only example that you get, this how you're going to be raised. This how you're going to think this is supposed to be. You're going to want to be a baller. You're going to want to go out there and make your legend and make your name. And you're going to want to go. I couldn't wait until I got, I couldn't wait to the day when I got my license when I turned 16. I knew that I was going to be his right-hand man because I was smarter than all my other brothers at 15 and 14. All they wanted to drink was Harvey's Bristol King cream and smoke something. And I'm sitting up here waiting to take over the empire. Not a good example. He was a good man, but he wasn't a good example. And then he left this life prematurely. Hey man, he died too soon. And we ought to be here living because many people are not in their children's life today. It's not that you got your brains blown out. You just start thinking stupid, thinking that a child could make it without you. And they wouldn't be, they'd be able to function, hey man, without you in their life. But the devil is a liar. Everybody needs a father. Look at your neighbor and say, everybody. Everybody, amen, needs the progenitor. Everybody needs the transmitter. Everybody needs the releaser of the blessing. And some people in this room, you're hurting, amen, intensely and don't understand some of the things that you face. But many people in this room, you're fighting your daddy's demon. But the problem is you've never met your father to understand what he fought. And you're fighting something that you've never seen, but you know that it's in you. And the only way that you can get some help is you have to submit your life to the blood of Christ. It's some people in this room struggling, amen, with being promiscuous and being slick and being, some people, amen, straight up hustlers. And some people, amen, are really good people. They trying to figure out why is so much good, amen, that I want to do, a business that I want to do, and nobody else in my family thinks like that. Many people have never met their father. A lot of times we're living from our father's curse. And I can say this for myself. There's never been anything in life outside of Christ. The two things that I would desire the most is to just see his face. To see what he looks like and see how he operates for a day. The second greatest desire I have is to become the $6 billion man. I want to run fast and be quicker. I want his leg to pop out because I'm so tired of walking on this thing. I'm so tired of walking on. Yeah, and I want to run with my own leg. Huh? But I understand that this desire, hey man, to see my father, it's innately on the inside of me. You want, hey man, to be with your father because there's some things that only a father can teach his daughter, or a father can teach his son, or there's a way that he says it, a way he looks at his child that they realize you ain't got to whoop them, but correction is coming. That there's a way that you can strike a chord in their life to realize that you can teach them not how to make the same mistakes that you've made. Everybody in the room needs a father. I want you to hear me. Everybody needs to imitate their father. Did you know that in America, 48.5% of our children grow up with no pattern, no father, no pattern? Half of our kids grow up without a father in the house. And then you're trying to figure out why they're trying to figure out what they're supposed to be. Well, if all they see is hips, lips, and fingertips, mascara, hey man, and sexiness, and you got your boy up under you day and night, and you ain't telling them that it's wrong in the beginning when you see him picking up, hey man, Barbies, and you stunting around him with all that, what you think they're going to pick up because they have no pattern coming from the father. They're going to follow the example and don't have no frailty or no weakness or no issues already battling on the inside that hadn't been dealt with because they need their father's protection and covering. What you expect them to be? We got grown boys living like sissies. I ain't talking about gay. I'm talking about dependent. You 30 and still living in your mama's basement. I don't want to get beat up at the service, so I'm going to retract that statement. Strike that from the records, Your Honor. Hallelujah. I watch enough Law and Order to know I'm going to strike that from the records. Did you know God is called our Father? Say, God is my Father today. He's not only my Father, he is God, the Father of the stars, of the heavenly luminaries, because he is their creator. He's their what? He is their upholder. He is their ruler. He is the God and Father of all rational and intelligent beings. God is the Father of all creation. He is our Father. He is the Father, amen, whether it be of angels or of men, our Heavenly Father, our Creator. He is the preserver and our guardian protector. He is the spiritual being of all mankind, our Father. Did you know as Christians, as though, amen, living through Christ, we now have access to our Heavenly Father on a consistent basis? Listen, we may not be consistent in time, amen, with our kids, but do you know we have a God who's always there for us as our Father? But many of us, we just look at him as God. And there's a difference from looking at him as just being God, as being God, your Father in your life, because you realize, hey man, he loves you. You realize he wants to help you. When you know your Father loves you, you'll sit down and talk with him. You'll express your heart. You'll talk about the dreams. You'll talk about what you want to get done. When you recognize God the Father, he loves you, you'll sit down. Hey man, he'll already know what's on the inside, but he wants you to come and hold a conversation with him on a daily basis. He don't want you to shrink back when it's time to praise him and get cool and get cute and act like, you know, you too grown to be worshiping God. He wants you to break down in his presence. He wants you to snot and cry and tell him, you so big, you so strong. Hey man, you my Father. I love you, Daddy. He wants you to wrap, hey man, get yourself up in his arms and be covered in his presence. He wants you to build a real relationship with him. Some of us too hard. It doesn't matter if it's male or female. Some of us, hey man, been in church 10 years and you still too hard. Nothing breaks you. Nothing cracks you. There's never an intimate moment. You always act like everything is all right and you know that it's not. God wants to be intimate with you. He wants to be your Father. He wants you to draw near unto him because he wants to draw near unto you. But if you act like everything is all right, you don't give him an opportunity to be Father in your life. We're looking for a God to come and swat us every time we miss it or blow up. He said, I want to be your Father. I want to help you. Had an incident with one of my oldest kids recently, and I wanted to just kill her. I just wanted to go crazy on her and just put her out and say, you got... But as I was driving, God said, do you remember how you was? He said, not a chip, Pastor Ken, saved and sanctified and full of the Holy Ghost. I said, what you talking about? He said, do I need to rewind the tape for you? And so I'm riding there, you know, with an attitude. And about 5 minutes into the drive, I started thinking about grace and mercy. And she was waiting at the door. You ever just saw one of your kids waiting? They just like, let's get this over with. She said, it's over with for me this time. I know I done blown it. And I sat down on the bed, and I looked at her, and I said, baby, I said, I love you, and I want to help you, and you ain't got to go nowhere, and I'm going to pay for you when you need me these different times where you don't have the money and while you're going through school, I'm going to help you. She thought she was going to get put out, but I had to realize I had to be a father. But it was her 100th time blowing it, but I still had to be a protector. You know, y'all get cute. You get, you know, 18, 19, you smelling yourself but still need gas money. Because you can't be, you know, all of that and still need to eat my food and sleep in my house and gas money. And but at the end of the day, I realized that God has been merciful unto my insanity. And my roses, hey man, they ain't always sweet. I don't care what you think. Hey man, and I had to realize is that I needed to be a father and to show her a different side. Because if you're going to be a good father today, like your Heavenly Father, you can't just have, hey man, one tool and it's a hammer and beat everybody like they're a nail. You have to have some versatility in the building process of other people that God has given you, hey man, leadership over. Come on, if you want to shout, I'm going to have you shout in a moment. But some of us, we need to think through the process, amen, of fathering or our Heavenly Father, the relationship that he wants with us. Because y'all running from blessings. God trying to overtake your life with blessings, and you saying, no, I'm going to keep hanging out with Scooby and them, and I'm going to keep running with Ray Ray and them, and I'm going to keep smoking that loud, drinking that Ciroc, and I'm trying to teach you how to Shabbat, how to stock up on some praise, how to get some stuff on credit with God, how to extend your worship, to take you over to a lifetime warranty. I'm trying to teach you some stuff, amen, but you saying, I love insanity, deep fried, smothered in chocolate, covered in hot sauce. because I want to be cool. Look at your neighbor and say, is he talking to you? Listen, we have to live by faith in the Son of God. Let's go to Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20 so I can get into the heart of my message and close in a few moments. I didn't stay at a Holiday Inn last night, but I know how to do surgery. We're going to cut out the cancer and get out of here. My Father, my Father. Don't forget that statement. The scripture that we started in, we're going to close with that. But right now, we're going to take a journey through scripture so we can understand the importance of imitating our Father. And if you don't have nobody to imitate, look to Jesus. Amen. And then build a real relationship with your pastor and elders and leaders. Come on. Some of y'all too standoffish. We've been in church together 8 years, 9 years, 10 years. Some of y'all been members forever. And you ain't never needed counsel? You ain't never needed prayer? I mean, come on now. I mean, your marriage ain't never been in trouble? I mean, talk to me. But see, the whole thing is until you redefine who I am in your life, you'll look at me just like, you know, he got on pants. He wear pants like I wear pants. I tell you all the time, I put on my pants different from you put on the way you put on your pants. You just jump in your pants and you start running. But I have to go through an artistic motion, amen, of dressing my leg exquisitely. Putting clothes on that boy, shining the shoe up, hey man, making sure the socks match, hey man, I put my leg on differently than the way that you do, hey man, but then on top of that, there's a different anointing on my life for you, and if you ever just learn to receive me as pastor, friend, and father, hey man, I'd be able to speak into your life at critical moments, and you'll stop wasting your income tax check and look for a way to investment so that you never see another broke day in your life, because my Father is going to protect me, empower me, and teach me something so I can stop living low. I'm teaching an 8-year-old right now. If you bake 3 cakes a week, hey man, you can make yourself $50 a week at 8. Huh? The 10-year-old the same. She go to the restaurant right now and she'll serve a table and they'll look at her and say, you're the best server I ever seen at 9, 10 years old. $40 in tips for a 10-year-old in an hour of service. I mean, I'm just saying, you have to realize is that there is training for reigning, but you have to let somebody be an instructor in your life, and you got to get rid of that. You ain't the boss of me, and I'm grown, and who you talking to? I'm talking to your crazy self. You've been broke too long. You've been messed up too long. You've been jacked up too long. I'm talking to you. No, you ain't. Yes, I am. You want to be petty? I'll be petty too. Yes, I am. Somebody say, I'm living by faith. Not fake. I said, I'm living by what? Look at Galatians 2 and 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I am alive. Yet not I, but Christ liveth down the street. Where does Christ live? If you're saved, believe in Jesus, who moved inside of your house? Somebody say Christ. Where does he live? When you blow in the good stuff, where does he live? When you drink in the good stuff, where does he live? When you sleeping with your boo, where does he live? You're trying to act like he out there and we just meet him at church. But baby, if you ever said yes to Jesus, he came in the door when you came. He walked in when you walked in. He is there for you right now. Talk to me. He said, but Christ liveth where? In me. Where does he live? And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by what? The faith of what? The Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Real love, amen, from a father, amen, he will come, amen, and release himself into you, and he will love for you, and he will die for you, amen. I was up here not even preaching. I was in here doing my pastoral duties. Even though I ain't got to, I like to. So I sat in church from 2 o'clock to 5 o'clock yesterday praying for you. In the middle of me praying for you, doing my duties. Hey man, my shoe, my heels came off. Now, if I was just buying shoes for me, I'd be gaitered up every week, Meslins every week. But I done had them boys for 7 years. My only pair. Oh, but you think the pastor balling and he taking my money? My souls is coming off. Why? Because I'm concerned with the souls that I'm losing. The people that y'all ain't going to talk to me in this place. All he want is my money. What money? If you had $1,000 to give me, what money? Your soul is invaluable. It's priceless. But we living by faith in the Son of God. Ain't nothing I got on overpriced. Why is that, Pastor? Because everything I wear, I sell. So while you pay $300 for a suit, I pay $62.50 for big and tall. And you trying to sit up and figure out how you look good, you know, because it's the God in me. Hey, it's the God in me. y'all ain't going to help me in this place. Y'all too cool, this, but I'm telling you like a T.I. is. There's a God living on the inside of us, and he wants to lead us. He wants to be a father from the inside out. He wants to direct our thoughts and our minds. He wants to bless us. Then he wants us to take on his mind and be an imitator and follower of Jesus. Jesus says, I follow my Father's patterns in everything that I do. And I need you to follow my patterns in everything that you do. Go to John chapter 5 and verse 19. I'm almost done. It's only 11:32. You don't rush the waitress at Red Lobster like you do me. It's cool. Hallelujah. Somebody say, I have to imitate my Father. That's why you got to be a good one. You up for imitation. And if your kids don't act nothing like you, something wrong with the you that you showed them. Huh? John chapter 5, verse 19. Look at Jesus, say how he imitates his Father. Watch. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself. Ooh. But what he seeth his Father do, for what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. Jesus said, the stuff that I do, the only reason I did it because my Father set a pattern and showed me how he did it, so now I know how to do it. He says, so whatever I see my Father do, that's what I do. Now this would be confusing if we didn't know what Jesus did. So evidently his Father was a miracle worker. Evidently, his Father spoke to nothing and it became everything. Evidently, his Father was raising the dead, amen, in his presence, because Jesus said, the only stuff that I do is what I see my Father do. I need my Father. I need that pattern. I need that example. I need that leadership. I need that transmitting, amen, of his wisdom and his presence and his power. He shows me, amen, how to fly planes. Come on. Listen, when you go to Chinese restaurants and the kids up there taking your money at 7, because his Father said, you ain't going to sit around here and eat fried rice all day and not work. Let me teach you how to walkie. Let me teach you how to walkie. And them boys in there walking and frying and come, because you have to teach them something. In the same way Jesus said, as I sit around my Father, he says, when he moves, I move. Just like that. He says, when he heals, I heal. Just like that. He says, listen, when he demonstrates, I demonstrate. Just like that. Listen, you have to know that we need an example in the earth. And so Jesus says, the only thing that I'm doing is what I see and hear my Father doing. Look at verse 30 in that same text. He says, because I can of my own self do nothing. He said, as I hear, I judge. And my judgment is righteous, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. He said, I'm judging is the one God judging. I ain't trying to create no drama. I ain't trying to make no drama. I'm only doing what I see my Father do. And many times in the room, we all got this attitude, you can't judge me. Yes, I can. I can judge you if I get the beam out of my eye, then I can pull the speck out of yours. If my life lined up with the word, it's my responsibility to tell you, you dead wrong. That's not right. And if I'm your father, you ought to be able to say, yes, sir. Hey, man, let's practice that for a moment. Yes, sir. No, see, you got too many rebellious folk up in the room. Let's practice that on the count of three. One, a two, a three. Yes. Yes, sir. I'm trying to help somebody. He didn't give you a pastor so you could run over. He gave you a father so you could help be established. So we can get an example from Jesus how we follow. What I do, you do. That's why I am so proud of all of my leaders and the members that love their pastor and follow. Because they can lay hands on anybody and get them filled with the Holy Ghost. I was sitting up at the pulpit. We had a call for the Holy Ghost to be filled on Friday night. I text Keisha at the back. Hey, man, I said, go and get Mama. She want to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Hey, man, I sent the text. Mama came up after the service and said, baby, I've been filled with the Holy Ghost. Hey, man, no, because there's power in the place. And my kids ought to be able to act like me and demonstrate like me and lay hands like me and cast out devils like me. They ought to be able to worship like me. I ain't going to teach you how to dougie, but I'm going to teach you how to pray. I'm going to teach you how to praise. I'm going to teach you how to love. I'm going to teach you how to give. Even the baby in the last row clapping. Talk to me. Hallelujah. Somebody say, I got to do double. Look at your neighbor and say, I got to do double. Y'all ready for this? Let's go to 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 9. Verse 8. Because Elisha did twice as many miracles as Elijah did. That means, if you're my child, you ought to do what? Double. You ought to open up double the churches. You ought to open up double the restaurants. You ought to open up double the global expansion. You ought to do double. And I ain't asking for one child to do everything, but if you do restaurants, you do the printing business, you do the churches, you do the clothes, come on, you, hey man, create the juice factory, come on, talk to me. Somebody shouted, we ought to do double. You think you were sitting here to be ordinary? No, you were sitting here so that you could double in every area of your life. Double the anointing. Now, that's a lot of anointing, huh? Because his hand on my life. Now, I ain't going to act like this is easy. How did his hand get on your life the way that it is? If you lay hands on a frog, he starts speaking in English, and you lay hands, hey, man, on a man, he starts speaking in tongues. How did you get that way? Because I can't just give you that. That come from on your knees and living this life and trying to live holy and trying to be right and saying sorry and eating crow a whole lot of times when you was dead right, but right don't make it righteous. I don't want to be right. I want your soul to be saved. Let me sit down because y'all getting tired of me. And amen. They said, it don't take all of that. He a little bit too dramatic for me. Huh? But watch this. Somebody say, I got to do double. Let's look at this. And the Bible says, and Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters. And they were divided hither and thither so that they too went over on dry ground. Watch this. And it came to pass that when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask, well, what should I do for you before I be taken away from thee? And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of your spirit be upon me. Somebody said double portion. And watch what he says. And he said, you have asked a hard thing. He said, nevertheless, if you see me when I am taken away or taken up from thee, it shall be so unto thee, but if not, it shall not be. Next verse. And it came to pass as they went on and talked and did what? The father and the son, they did what? It says, and they went on and they talked. It says that, behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. This is supernatural. But before I talk about the text, let me talk about this. It says that a horse of fire shows up, and I would be cool with that. But it also says the chariot is made of fire. In order for a man to get on a horse made of fire and a chariot made of fire, the man had to be on fire. Oh, you missed it right there. Oh, you, because I can't sit, amen, on wood. If a horse on fire and the chariot on fire, the only way I can merge into that thing is that the man has to be on fire. And if you follow it, anybody that ain't on fire, you here at the right time for the right word. Because we are a church that is on fire. Don't judge me by my numbers. Don't judge me by what's in the chairs. There is something in me that if you can receive it, not the crazy part about it, that wasn't in my notes. The Lord just spoke that to me. I need somebody on fire that I'm talking to. Because I don't want to be the type of church that the Indian man was invited to. He said, the brother invited them to a church service, and the Indian came out the church service. He said, in the church, he said, there was a lot of wind and a lot of smoke, but no fire. And I want to be, amen, where there's not only wind and smoke, but there's also a lot of fire. Hallelujah. That's a good place. Amen. Just clap your hands and thank God. Hallelujah. Elijah did twice as many miracles. The double fell on his life. Now, let me parallel two people. Elijah, for the sake of time, Elijah did 14 miracles that they can count. I've counted more, but I'll follow the theologians right now. But 14 has been recorded for Elijah. Somebody say 14. In Elisha's ministry, they record that he did 28 miracles that's recorded in Scripture. And so he did twice as many miracles as his father. Did you hear me? He did twice as many. Now the crazy part about this is when he got Elisha, Elisha was working in the farm, hey man, with his oxes, making a living. But when he saw his man of God, he stopped what he was doing in order to follow the man of God, because he recognized that God was calling him through the man. No difference than when Jesus showed up on the scene and he walked past his disciples and he said, come, and they say, you the one. And I need to start following out. And they begin to follow him. So watch this. Elijah picks up Elisha. He begins to follow him. He is training him. He is teaching him. He is transmitting his spirit to him. He is teaching him how to prophesy, teaching him how to hear the voice of God. And it's biblical. When Samuel, amen, learned from Eli, his prophet, the Bible says that Samuel laid in the bed and God came to him in a vision in the room three times. He didn't know the voice of God. And so the Bible says in Samuel chapter 3, he sat there and kept running to Eli's room and kept saying, did you call me? Because evidently Eli's voice sounded a lot like the voice that was speaking to him. What are you saying? I'm saying that if you really got a good pastor, his voice ought to sound like the voice of God in your life, and you ought to, amen, not be able to distinguish the two. And so Eli keeps running in the room, and Eli said, no, I didn't call you. But Eli picked up on the third time. He said, okay, this is what's happening. The Lord is calling you. But what you have to say is this. Hear God speak, for your servant hears. And on the third time, Samuel said, I hear you, Lord. And the Bible says in Samuel chapter 3, many people miss this, but it says Samuel, the Bible says, and the word of the Lord stood next to him as he did at other times. What are you saying? I'm saying sometimes you miss God looking for him over there. Well, if you just learn how to hear his voice through your pastor, you would know that he's standing there all the time, right there. And you ain't got to keep running to every church and every meeting and every conference looking for God. God is on the inside of you. I'm going to sit down. I got to. I'm giving y'all too much. Is these my college kids or this the elementary school? Which one is this? This college? I can lecture a little longer. Pastor, apostle, can I go a little longer? I'm almost done. I'm almost done. Just chill. Watch this. Watch this. You got to do double. Elijah, he got fed by ravens. Elijah made the rain to stop for 3.5 years. Elijah, he had the barrel of meal and cruse of oil. Elijah resurrected the widow's son. Elijah called down fire from heaven that it licked up all the water that was on the altar. Elijah, he was doing miracles. But while he was doing miracles, he was teaching his kids how to do miracles as well. Watch this. Right before he died, you got to study your word, because I can't go to all these places. But right before Elijah died, the school of the prophets came and met Elisha. And they told his protege, they said, you know, today your father is going to be taken away. They knew he was about to die. The prophet knew he was about to die, his protege. Now that's some amazing stuff. For everybody in the room to know that you're about to die and they cool with it. You ought to be able to tell when something is about to go down before it happens, because we so connected. Before I ever shed a tear, you ought to have a bucket, amen, by your side, amen, getting ready to pour out raindrops. Before ever I say there's a need, you ought to be writing checks. Why? Because you ought to know what I feel, because I walk with you and I talk with you and I told you. Well, I'm preaching. Jake should be proud of me this morning. I'm about to sit down because I just can't take no more. You want a little more? A little more? Okay. All right. I'm going to get to you then, all right? And so Elijah, he did a lot of miracles. Man, he called down fire from heaven and killed 50 soldiers. Then called down fire again and killed another 50. Elijah had power with God. But his son did double. Look at your neighbor and say double. I ain't give you all the miracles. Go Google it for yourself. But let's look at the miracles in the career of his son, Elisha. Somebody say Elijah and Elisha. Okay, let's look at his miracle. The first thing that he did when he got saved and took his father's mantle, he said, I ain't gonna work as hard as my father did. But my father started showing me some tricks at the end of his ministry that was gonna bless me. So the first thing Elisha does is this. He grabs the mantle. He said, I ain't about to walk 20 miles around it. He takes the mantle, stops by the Jordan, and he smites the river so that the river stands up at attention. And now Elisha walks over on dry ground. The first thing you should be able to learn from the relationship that you have with me is how to think smarter instead of working harder. Somebody by now should have figured this out, that you ain't got to work day and night in order to get a good living. Oh, boy. I lost some of y'all there. But I've been trying to show you. But some of y'all, I love the color purple. I've been fighting all my life. I'm trying to teach you how to live, amen, with sweatless victories. And you keep up here saying, scratch, cussing folk out. And I'm showing you how to get blessed without all. Somebody say the first thing. Work smarter. Be praying on how I think outside the box. How can I work in 4 hours and make as much as 16 hours? I ain't got no help. Huh? I don't even sleep right now. Because the people that I'm cool with, they don't look like me and you. They from China and Pakistan. And I sit there half the night figuring out what you said. But I stay on the line because I want what you got. Huh? You know what he told you. Go and mop that kitchen. Go and fry that chicken. You can understand that. But you also see that $8 and something with that hourly wage on the inside of you saying, these dry bones ain't living. And on the inside, you know that I'm better than this. I'm bigger than this. I should have more than this. And can I tell you this? Is that aching on the inside is really God punching you in your spirit saying, get up, man up, fess up, follow up, and show up. So that you can demonstrate the life that I got for you. Well, we know what most of us we do. We squelch that voice down and that yearning down. And we jump back on the TV and we see who Ray Ray with now. We see who Kim gonna marry this week. We get back on the Xbox. And then some of us real crazy. After doing all of that, with our last $540, we at Best Buy at 1 in the morning, 3 days before Black Friday, so I can get me a PS4. Y'all ain't going to talk to me when y'all have been thinking about how can I take and die to self but multiply with the great? How can I take little and turn it into much? The first thing you should have learned from your prophet is how to work smarter. Let me calm down because y'all don't like me. Anybody drive all these hours want to be liked. So let me slow down. And so Elisha, he does 28 miracles. Somebody say double. I got a question before I go any further. In these few moments of us just talking, have you made up in your mind yet that you're going to do double? If so, just slide up a finger, wave it like you just don't care. Okay. That give me hope. Huh? I said, Elijah trained his prophet so good, they knew when he was about to die. Then went and told his son he was about to die. And then the Bible says when he died, he got picked up first class by something he fit with. Fire. Can I tell you that your broke friends, for real, you don't fit with them any longer? Can I tell you them haters, them gossipers, them naggers, them prognosticators, them, come on, them player haters. Come on, can I tell you that they just don't fit you anymore? And I know you want to go back and pull up, but when the pulling, amen, calls in you to lose sleep and to stress out, and you trying to pull up Shaggy, but Shaggy don't want nothing. It's time for you to have to learn how to cut, hey man, that wood and get back with that fire. Because you got to keep running with your own blood type. The problem with us Christians is we keep going back to another blood type. I've been saved and sanctified and full of the Holy Ghost. That's why I don't run with your foolishness. Somebody shout, new blood type. I'm done. Somebody shout, I'm about to do the double. My salary about to double. And that's just the beginning. I found out it was a thief in my life. The Bible says when the thief has been found, he ought to restore unto you sevenfold. I found out that the devil been taking my stuff. Guess what he owed me? Sevenfold. Seven times everything I lost. Guess what God promised me? 30, 60, and 100-fold. What are you saying? I'm saying that if you get into the will of God, he'll take that seven that the devil owed you and hit you with a 30, 60, and 100-fold times blessing if you would just surrender to the known will of God. Y'all ain't going to help me in this place. Somebody say, I'm going 200 times greater at least than I've ever seen in my life. Now, 200 times nothing ain't nothing. But if you ever made a little bit of something, 200 times greater will take you into the millions, and you will be a fulfillionaire living the high life. Y'all ain't going to talk to me. Somebody say, I'm working with that double. Okay. Okay, I got four preaching minutes, huh? I got to sit down. Watch this. Watch this. He did 28 miracles. Somebody say double. But you know what I find to be his most astounding miracle? Is that when Elisha died, somebody say he was dead. Elijah and Elisha was both now dead. And someone got killed. And they threw his body on top of Elijah's coffin. That's how you know you're bad in God. When they threw the dead man's body on top of Elisha, when he hit the casket, he went down dead. But when he had touched and anointed double man of God, doing prophet work and miracle work himself, the Bible says that the man went down dead and came up alive. What are you saying in your Baptist voice? What I'm saying is this. Is that you may have come in, hallelujah, and looked like it was all over, but you saw me when I was getting ready to go up, hallelujah, and because you caught me going up, amen, it doesn't matter how dead your situation looks, hallelujah, is that you're about to rise out of your dead situation. Y'all ain't gonna talk to me. That's somebody in the room. As long as you stay connected. I heard the organ and everything playing. I don't know how he didn't catch up to what I was doing. But the bottom line is this. He did double the miracles of his father. And in death, he was still so anointed that folks still kept living through his ministry. Man, ain't nothing about life changes dead. Ain't nothing dead about the people we've raised up. This is an anointed church. Filled with anointed people. Yeah, we started a church in December in North Carolina, yeah. But this is where you get proved and tried. What do you do? Will you do double the miracles? Or you run and say, it's better at the church that already got everything they need because they bigger and got the choir, you go sit where you can blend in and be comfortable. It's 1,000 people, yeah. But the hundreds I talk to, they still need the Holy Ghost. Because theological teaching is wonderful. But theology with power, still religion. I need God to show up in my church, my marriage, and in my ministry. I need to run with my blood type. What can you do here? You can do the impossible. You can build the dream. In one simple statement, you can do your part. Because you made this all about Pastor Ken. But if you ever followed me for a day, you knew that it was only about you and Jesus wanting to fulfill the will of God. I want to read this passage and I'm done. It's from the same text. 2 Kings in chapter 2 and verse 9. I'm going to read and I'm done. I promise you. Watch this. And the Bible says that it came to pass they still went on and talked that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven, and Elijah saw it. Watch this. Somebody say he saw it. And he started crying. He said, and he cried, my father, my father. At first he followed him for the anointing and to teach me how to prophesy. But when he saw his heart from walking and talking with him, it was no longer about the anointing. When they took his daddy, he started crying, "My father, my father!" Because it went from the place of pastor or ministry to a place of, "That's my father. My heart is with him." He transmitted his spirit into my life. My father, it went from, "I want your anointing," till, "I want to be with you. You're my father." What we do is no joke or no game. What we do is to reach the hearts of lost men. Let me help everybody. We judge people most of the time based on how we look externally and flesh. We ooh and ah over muscles and triceps and delts and lips, hips, and fingertips. We go crazy over external. I had somebody tell me one day, she said, "I ain't gonna get with you, and I sure ain't gonna give you none." She said, "'Cause you want my body, but you don't wanna know my heart." We need to know the heart of the people that we fellowship with. To all of my members, not my visitors, to my members, you have to know my heart. And if you ever really knew my heart, you wouldn't break my heart. You wouldn't think two hours out of your schedule is too much. You wouldn't think giving the pastor an offering at appreciation time, been planning out for a whole year, is too much. Because you would recognize and value and appreciate who God put into your life. It's a certain level of decorum. It's just a certain level when you know somebody's heart. This guy right here, he even got whooped more times than anybody in the church. He was the firstborn. But he loved me, and I loved him. No, he knew my heart. But he also knew the change that took place in his life. Were you filled with the Holy Spirit before you met me? Did you speak another tongue before you met me? Did you lay hands on other people to be filled with the Holy Spirit before you met me? Did you cast out devils before you met me? Did you have any spiritual knowledge before you met me? Before you start listening to my teaching tapes, did you know anything about God? Before you set up under this ministry, did you have a God consciousness? What was your name in the streets? What did you do before you met me? He was a drug dealer. Who are you now?
Elder.
If anybody is a life changer and you got his testimony, stand to your feet. You've been touched under my ministry. If you've been touched under my ministry, if you become a son or daughter, you've been filled with the Holy Ghost under my ministry. You've been blessed by the words that came out of my mouth. Hallelujah. Go ahead, take your seat. Just take your seat. Hallelujah. I'm done. My Father, my Father.